Welcome to Out of the Question, a podcast that looks behind some common questions and uncovers the question behind the question while providing real solutions for biblical world and life view. Your co-hosts are Andrea Schwartz, a teacher and mentor, and Pastor Charles Roberts.
Let's begin with this passage from Leviticus 19, verse 28. You shall not make any cuts on your body for the dead, or tattoo yourselves, I am the Lord. For most of my life, tattoos were usually identifiers for men who had been in the Navy, bikers, or prisoners. It wasn't until the end of the 20th century, up until today, that tattooing has become more ubiquitous, more of a pop culture thing, even within the church. Today's topic is one that we've been asked to address many times. That subject is tattoos and why so many professing Christian young people are desirous of getting them. Some waiting until they're out of the house in deference to their parents. In order to get input from many sources, both Charles and I asked people we knew, both local to us and around the country, to ask believers they knew who had tattoos to answer various questions. Some of them were like, when, why, did it hurt, etc. When compared with the reasoning and answers of many non-believers who engaged in similar body modification practices, their answers were remarkably similar. So, Charles, what should we make of this trend?
I think it's just one more example, and in this case, obviously, a very visible one, of how satanic, humanistic, pagan, secular, whatever word you want to put in front of it, these things have had an influence in the thinking of the Christian church. And I hate to beat the horse constantly, but the fact is, in most evangelical and reformed churches, the emphasis for several hundred years, at least, has been placed on interior spiritual holiness and outward piety. And again, as we've said many times, there's nothing wrong with being pious and holy according to the Lord. But if that's all we're focusing on, then we have no real defense against the encroachment of humanistic teaching and ideas in the church. And that's why all of a sudden, things that were considered sacrosanct and unchangeable in Bible-believing churches less than 25 years ago, now all of a sudden we see things taking place where you would find the same thing at your local concert venue in terms of the appearance of people, since that's what we're focusing on. Right. Now, I have been in a number of churches. Because I'm a pastor, I'm not in a lot of different churches, but I've been in some when on vacation or something like that. And I have noticed that this is a recurring thing, a frequent thing among people who call themselves Christians, that they are tattooed like so many other people in our culture. I think some want to say, well, it's okay because I've got this Bible verse, I've got a picture of my mother, whatever it may be, as the tattoo, as if that somehow excuses the teachings of Scripture on this particular topic.
And I think it boils down to, we're either going to be followers of God in terms of theonomy, that we're governed by God's law in accordance with his stipulations, or autonomy. And I think it's remarkable that many who profess belief in the authority of God's word often hold positions and perspectives that fall into the category of autonomy. Since many view the Old Testament as background material rather than authoritative, when it comes to things that were forbidden by God way back then, their view is if they weren't repeated again in the New Testament, it falls under the banner of liberty of conscience. And this is interesting because when you think about it, are we to be governed by the word of God? And on top of that, should our consciences be informed by the word of God? And while it's true that God allows for disobedience, we'd all be hard-pressed to say that there is liberty of consequence.
Yes, and I think this has been one of the things that's often overlooked in this particular discussion, and that is the consequences of pursuing actions that God's law word forbids. And in this case, It's a lot more clear and obvious than many people assume. Now, of course, if someone is taking the position that, well, the God of the Old Testament is a different God than the God of the New Testament, we follow Jesus and the red letters, and it's all about love and peace and harmony and rainbows and unicorns, but we don't follow that harsh old God of the Older Testament. Of course, that is a rank heresy. It's the same God in both Testaments, and Jesus is the author of all of Scripture. And all of Scripture, when taken together, forbids desecrating or modifying our bodies in the ways that people have started to do. And I guess we could throw in at this point, it's in the same category, but the piercings of noses and ears and other body parts seem to go right along with this. But either way, when a person gets a tattoo, their body is pierced. And I think people would be surprised at how often Scripture addresses that particular issue and what it means. Now, I'll just give one example. In the book of Exodus, chapter 21, we read this, 21 verse 6, "Then his master," that is the slave's master, and this is about an Israelite household, "the master shall bring him to the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or to the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him forever." So the piercing in that case, and in many of these cases, is an example of subordination and submission. So the question that I think we've asked a lot of folks that we've interacted with on this topic, and we will ask it broadly in this podcast to all who listen who have gotten tattoos or they know others who have, what was the motivation? Why did you pursue this? And have you realized, in terms of what God requires of us, the consequences in terms of what his law says? And we can talk about it, and I think you have some information about the, if not the medical, then the physical consequences of doing these things.
What's interesting to me is that a lot of the people who asked me, could you guys address this on your podcast, preface their statement with, I've got some kids and they love the Lord. They're sold out to God, but they tell me they want to get a tattoo and they're going to wait. As soon as they no longer, you know, when they're 18 or when they move out, in deference to me, they won't do it. And what's interesting is these sold out Christian kids who parents are just so sure are walking with the Lord are less concerned about offending God than they are about offending their parents. Some people say, you know, these are good kids. They just don't want to make their parents be put in an awkward position. But if we go back to Leviticus 19:28, after he says, you shall not make any cuts on your body for the dead or tattoo yourselves, I am the Lord. When Scripture includes that, we know that God is making sort of an exclamation point. I'm telling you this because I am the Lord. And so when you have this view that, you know, it doesn't mean the same thing it meant then, like you brought up piercing, that was a way to show that somebody was going to be a perpetual slave, had the opportunity not to be a slave anymore, but he wanted to hang out and stay as a slave. Just because people now use it for fashion or decoration, or instead of calling it tattoos in many places, they call it body art, doesn't change what God said. Why should we think that God would have had to say, again, through the gospel writers and those who wrote the epistles, by the way, everything I said in the Old Testament doesn't count unless I say it again?
Right. And it's hard to know where to begin sometimes to talk to folks about this because they're not making that connection. There's simply nothing in their consciousness that, at least initially, brings any conviction about, you know, I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't modify my body this way, either through tattooing or piercings and things that way, because God's word says this. I mean, how would anybody know that? Because they're surrounded by Christians and non-Christians who do this all the time. And one of the interesting things that I've noticed, and I'm sure there are other areas that this same sort of principle applies, but I don't think I've ever known anyone who has gotten one tattoo and said, you know, that's probably not a very good idea. I'm not going to get any more. Everybody I know has three, four, five or more.
Right.
You know, I don't know about your experience.
Well, that's why I thought, I know what the Bible says and I know what my position is, but I'm really seeking to understand what others think. Now, you made reference and I'll bring it up here. There are certain realities biologically that happen when a person gets a tattoo. You talk about piercings. From what I understand, and I've watched so many videos on this on YouTube, that now Facebook is pretty sure that I want to get a tattoo because I keep getting all these things about tattoos on my Facebook feed. But it's not just a piercing. The needles are like 3,000 piercings a minute. And if you know anything about the skin, which is the largest organ in our body, there are different layers. So there's the epidermis and there's the dermis, and then there's what's underneath that. The first two layers are what happens in terms of tattooing. So this ink is put into your body, and it doesn't just stay on the epidermis, because if it did, it wouldn't last very long. It's kind of like if you put a magic marker on the top of your skin, after a while, it'll wash off. Well, this ink goes into the dermis. And how it remains is that the body initiates an immune response, because the body recognizes this shouldn't be here. And because of the continual bombardment of the white blood cells, the ink on the tattoo stays vibrant, at least for a while, forgetting about what happens to skin as people age, etc., sagging. Forget about that part. But it's an immune system overreaction. So you're really taxing your immune system. And then what happens is that some of this ink can make its way into the lymphatic system. And so they have, in autopsies and in other procedures, discovered that, for example, in a woman's uterus or the ovaries, that they find some tattoo ink. So this is anything but benign. And on top of it all, when I've done the research, now this is not with Christians, but tattoo artists and what they have to say, it actually hurts more each time you get a tattoo. But the way that people describe it, they describe it as good pain, which then throws us into the realm of masochism and self-atonement. Are they trying to withstand this pain for some reason that they figure they deserve it?
Yeah, that's a good question. One wonders if that kind of explanation about the pain level or the type of pain is simply a way of excusing doing something that innately, because their body is reacting, saying, yeah, you really shouldn't be doing this to me, to right. my body.
Right. So going back to the idea of the law, if your orientation to God's law is, what a killjoy, we can't do anything that's fun in terms of things like chastity, waiting for marriage, for sexual intimacy. If the point of view was God does it for his glory and our good. So how many people, maybe there would be a whole bunch of them, that if you said, this is what you're opening yourself up to, cancers, potential skin problems, whatever it is, are they so focused on what they want rather than how their creator designed their bodies to work well? What are we saying about the believers who say, I don't see anything wrong with this, it doesn't mean the same thing now that it did then? Are they really saying that Jesus dying on the cross suddenly made tattoos okay?
Well, it goes back to what I said at the beginning in this sort of reductionist, pietistic, all I need is my New Testament and Book of Psalms, and really not even the Book of Psalms, just give me the red letters. Everything that people don't like in the Bible is thrown out under the pretense of everything being changed by God's grace against his law. I think that Christians need to realize that insofar as they do understand and are at least made aware of what God's word says in this matter, then it's the same thing that Adam and Eve did. You know, did God really say you shouldn't do this? Yeah, come on, you've got a better idea. You're not gonna have any problems. That's the first move, is to decide whether or not, no matter what everybody else is doing or thinking, do I obey God or do I obey my own whims or what the devil is whispering to me or my next door neighbor or whoever? And I think in this case, this is pretty clear. And again, there may be other issues that we could talk about. This is the one that we were asked to discuss that have a similar thing in terms of the way decadent society encroaches into the church. Now, I want to mention something relating to this that I was told some years ago by a man who has had a significant ministry in South Africa. You and I both, I think, know of this man, and he was telling me that he would occasionally get contacted from churches in the United States and I guess Great Britain wanting to send youth groups over to do short-term missions as part of his work. And I don't know if this is one of the first times that this happened. It certainly did happen because he said on one occasion, there were one or two of these kids from a youth group from a church in, again, USA, UK, I don't remember where, and they had tattoos. And this is going back a few years ago. This isn't recent. And he said, as soon as I saw this, I said, you will not go on this mission trip with me to where I'm going in this part of Africa. And they were, well, why not? Well, because look at you. You are attired, you are adorned exactly like the witch doctors in some of these tribal villages that I've been trying to work against by promoting the teaching of God's word. What can I say to them when you look exactly? So that's another thing is that from the beginning, this has been associated with pagan ideas about the body and about human authority. That's why God's law forbids it. And, you know, people can review the various teachings of God's law word in Deuteronomy and Leviticus, among others. Use Rush Dooney's commentary or the Institutes of Biblical Law to help you better understand it. But you've got to ask yourself, why would the Lord be specifically prohibiting this particular activity or that particular activity?
Right.
If somebody wasn't prone to do it, and where were they getting it? They were getting it from the influence of the pagan people around them.
Even some of the YouTubers who are totally in favor of doing this, sometimes they know the scripture verses much better than a lot of so-called Christians. And what they do is they start trying to point out how modern culture doesn't follow everything the Bible says to do. Again, what these people are appealing to are the Christians who say, this doesn't apply anymore. This is just part of the ceremonial law. I'd like to know how tattooing or not tattooing is part of what ceremony? Was there a ceremony in not tattooing? No, it was something that was prohibited. And instead of asking, why would God prohibit it? The common answer you get, and I'll say this is true from tattooed Christians, is that it was just to differentiate the Israelites from other peoples. Well, Charles, if you and I and others like us say the church is the Israel of God, we should be able to be differentiated. How are people going to know? And the story you gave about the missionary is, heck no, I'm not bringing you in here because they're going to think, oh, they identify with the witch doctors. Well, no, we don't. We'll talk to them and tell them we don't. The result or the obvious thing is, but this is what you're wearing. It's not like, you know, the trend in dyeing your hair purple or things like that. No, this is much more permanent, just like gender reassignment surgery is very permanent. So the question I've been asking myself, and like I said, for a long time, is there a spirit that is encouraging people, both within and without the church, to permanently desecrate the image of God in them?
That is an excellent question, and I think the answer is obvious. And I think that what we have seen unfolding, I mean, you can trace it back to the Garden of Eden, and I'm going to refer to that here in just a moment, but especially in recent decades where the ramping up of the attack on God's word in our society and culture and the capitulation of churches and pastors and teachers to the easy believism and antinomianism of our time has led to this point where people are happy to get on board with Satan's project of doing what you just said, destroying the human body and attempting to completely erase the image of God in man. I mean, it's a fool's mission because God alone has authority over that. And if it wasn't enough of what Adam and Eve did in the garden to erase the image of God in man, well, there's nothing we're going to be able to do to accomplish it. But people never tire of attempting to do that, and they don't realize this is what they're being motivated to do. It is a sneak attack on the image of God in man when people do these sorts of things to their bodies. And again, I want to be fair, it's not just the tattoos, it's a lot of other things. I mean, we could say the same thing about people who eat the wrong kinds of foods or numerous other things that are bad for one's health. You were referring to the physical and medical side of doing this, getting your body needled up so many times with the tattoo ink and all that. I remember, and I'm sure you do too, back in the day, you didn't see hardly anybody with tattoos. Yeah, it was a few people in the military, that kind of thing. But as it began to be a bit more prevalent, it would churn up here and there. And, the big thing was, I don't understand why people do this. I mean, how is that going to look when you're 75 years old? Which is an interesting question because, on the one hand, it sort of raises an aesthetic issue. Like, that's not going to look good. You really want to look that bad when you're 75 years old? Well, n none of us look like Mr. or Mrs. America when we're 75 years old. Maybe that's not the best thing, but it raises this question. Why are you doing this? And really, the issue is not so much what it's going to make you look like. I mean, that's one thing.
It's a cultural thing. Like, what are you going to look like? We're then back to a humanistic perspective. I watched one video that was actually quite useful. This guy who says, consider me not your mother, your father, your grand, consider me your wise old uncle. Okay, this is what I want to do. If I gave you $1,000 and I told you that here are the stipulations, you have to go out and you have to buy something that would be just one outfit. You can't buy five outfits, you just have to buy one outfit. And that means like you could accessorize it, shoes, dress, pants, whatever it's going to be. And the second stipulation would be, and you have to wear that for a solid month and you couldn't wear anything else. He says, when he asked people that, they're like, no, I don't want to wear that for a whole month. And he says, well, the tattoo, that's what you're doing, but you're not just wearing it for a whole month, you're wearing it for the rest of your life. And so if you look at it in terms of think ahead a little bit, he said, anytime he posited, I'll give you $1,000. And he asked the people, okay, how much more would I have to offer you for you to wear the same thing every day for a month? And he said, no takers. So just from a human-centered point of view, there must be more to this than just fashion. There is a recording artist who, quite frankly, I didn't know until I did some research, named Ed Sheeran. He's obviously a big thing in the UK and America. And he had a video about all his tattoos, and he was describing when he got them and why. And something that was very telling, first of all, if you look at the guy now, he's tattooed colorful tattoos here and there. And, this is the footprint of my son when he was born, and this is when I was asked to sing with such and such. He said, when I first got my first tattoo, I said, this will be about it. But then I discovered that I was always thinking about what would be the next tattoo and what would be the next tattoo. And he's got this giant lion across his chest. So that had to be painful. But the way he talks about it is like he's been driven. He's been driven to do this. And that's why I asked the question, what spirit is driving people to do this?
There's an interesting account in the book of First Kings, well known to many of us, of Elijah and the prophets of Baal. And it's interesting there when they are wailing and calling out to their god Baal to do this miracle, he goads them, cry out a little longer, and they're cutting themselves. They're screaming and doing all these kinds of strange things that it's a direct link to their pagan beliefs. And again, that raises that question, like you said, why, what is it that's motivating this? Why would somebody be, inclined to do this? And I guess for folks who do this, and it doesn't at first appear to be anything demonic or satanic or ugly, I mean, it looks appealing, but isn't that the way all sin is? It has an appealing aspect to it. Satan doesn't come to us like something out of a modern horror movie or some medieval painting. He comes to us looking like the best looking guy in the world or woman in the world. And I was just thinking, as you were talking about that guy and his tattoos, another area where I think it crosses over into this in terms of body modification. I have recently seen, in some months, a couple of famous recording artists, another one, a female, one of the top recording artists of the 1980s. I mean, you look at this woman now, she's barely recognizable because of all of the things she's done to her face to try to make herself look like she's 22 years old again. I remember there was a guy who was the lead singer of a band from the 80s, and I think this was a UK band. And even then, the guy, you could tell, was very effeminate. in his complexion and the way he moved himself and his singing. And he continually had not really so much transgender surgery. It's like he was trying to erase any connection of what he would look like as a human being.
Right.
And I've seen images of people who, and perhaps you have too, where they get the bones and metal rods through their nose and over their eyebrows. They get their head shaved and they're covered with tattoos all over the place.
Right.
And some of them even saying, I'm getting my body modified so I look like a space alien, whatever that's supposed to be.
So the questions that I asked friends to ask is, when did you get it and do you remember why? Some people didn't even remember why they got it, but the answer was, I think it might have had something to do with rebellion, or I knew my parents wouldn't like it and that's why I did it. And then, did it hurt? Yeah, but you got over it. Did it cost a lot? In other words, did this upset your budget? In most cases, people say, well, I had disposable income. Yeah, it was more than I would spend on other things, but I did it. And then I asked, well, would you do it again? And a lot of them said no, they wouldn't do it again. However, they don't think it was wrong. So the answers, I mean, I was asking these questions, and so I appreciate the fact that the people who asked them for me were getting legitimate or honest answers, is that they wouldn't do it again, but they didn't think it was wrong. And I happen to know through the other research I did that even getting these tattoos removed can be problematic, because once you're trying to get the ink out, you might be spreading it more. So for those people who wouldn't do it again, and they wouldn't recommend it to others, my question is, well, the fact that everywhere you go, your arm goes with you or your leg goes with you, aren't you giving a message whether or not you want to be? For example, if a man has a whole arm sleeve, he could make a point of wearing a long sleeve shirt all the time so that he wasn't giving the idea that he was recommending it. But some people, their answer was, well, music person that I really liked or an athlete I really liked, I always wanted to remember how much I liked him. Well, this person shows up, and let's again call it the church picnic or whatever, and some 8-year-old boy really likes his favorite baseball player. He sees it on this other person and it must be okay because this guy is a good guy and he does it. So there are ramifications and you can't always undo what you did. But I was surprised, Charles, on how many people were defensive about it, including those who said that they had scripture on their arms or their legs and that it was a conversation starter. And my question was, can't you start the conversation without it? And this one person sent me a picture, a girl on her leg who has a Bible verse. Well, that means then, Charles, she wants people to look at her legs because that's going to be the conversation starter. And you know what? Unless she was wearing really short shorts, maybe that wouldn't show up. So could it also have a narcissistic component that says, I want people to look at me? I don't know. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, what else could it be? The problem is, at some point in the span of a person's life, they may have that attitude and that thought, but then some years later, it would be totally different. Maybe you don't want people leering at you or looking at you in a certain way because of this thing or other, whether it's a tattoo or a piercing of some sort or a hairstyle, whatever it may be.
Right.
I don't know. It's the motivation, like you've talked about, that people have as to why they get these. And it's hard to understand, I think, to some extent, how people continue to do it, and especially the encroachment into the life of Christians, where you can't tell the difference. I mean, it's an old saying, it's hackneyed, I guess, to some extent, but you can't tell the difference between the church and the world. It looks the same on the inside of the church as it does on the outside.
So for the people who say the admonition against this was not repeated in the New Testament, I think they miss what a lot of passages are. And this one, I think, probably sums it up. In the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verse 8, this is what Paul says. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. Could not tattooing fall under hollow and deceptive philosophy based on human tradition? And what are the elemental spiritual forces of this world contrasted with Christ?
That is an excellent point. And here I want to quote someone from an article, the Chalcedon Report, also called Faith for All of Life, that when it was being published as a hard copy some years ago. I'll read this quote and then I'll give you the attribution here in a moment. But it has to do with this particular issue. And maybe you've already read this yourself. I don't know. The writer says, ever since our first mother, Eve, facilely discovered multiple reasons to do what God had expressly commanded her through Adam not to do, we've proven to be in our fallen estate a darkness-loving lot that excels in creatively justifying any sin-embracing choice we desire to make. And this ability wreaks havoc in ethics. No sooner do we learn the right thing than we begin paralogizing in the pursuit of what we think of as, quote, freedom. And he makes this point. But freedom from God's law as a rule of faith and life is no freedom at all. Some think the opposite of law is grace. Rather, the opposite of law is chaos, meaninglessness, and death. Thinking which leads to a justification for disobedience is, by definition, wrong thinking. And so wrote our departed friend, Pastor Steve Slissel, in this article. And I think he hits the nail on the head there about the fact that, this, as I said earlier, it goes all the way back to the beginning, where people are being tempted to make decisions that they're led to believe they are the ones who have authority over their bodies and over what they do to themselves. Okay, yeah, I'm going to put a Bible verse here or there. One thing I would think about, and it's funny to one extent, because, you know, people in their younger years get a tattoo and it's Harry plus Sally, you know, when they were dating and he got the tattoo. And then a few years later, they're not dating anymore, but they still got the tattoo. What are you going to do about that?
Charles, I actually saw a video where in this case, the name on the guy's tattoo was Angela. And he said, Angela was long gone. But when I found a woman I wanted to marry, she would not marry me until I had Angela taken off the tattoo. So he had something else put over it. none of this was for biblical reasons, but there was no way that this lady whose name was not Angela was going to marry a man who had Angela written on his body.
Well, I think that's understandable. I mean, it would, to some extent, would be the same as someone having a nicely framed photograph of Angela on the wall. What I was going to say is that maybe it would be just me, but I guess there would be somebody else who would struggle with this. Let's say that I'm a Christian and I don't think there's anything wrong with this, so I get a tattoo on my leg or my arm of my favorite Bible verse. Well, I would struggle with the fact that maybe if 4 years later, I don't like that particular Bible translation. What am I going to do now? Go get one with the newer translation?
You know, the New Testament, Old Testament, the fact is it's God's word. And a lot of people, and you brought up the Psalms before, because even if they dismiss parts of the Old Testament, they will talk about the Psalms. Well, there's a Psalm that should be more readily digested in churches and with believers in families. But I think the reason it's not often, because Psalm 119 actually speaks against antinomianism. It's all about loving the law. And so in Psalm 119, 10 through 16, this is what it says. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts. I have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. So if you're going to knowledgeably move into something, it would seem to me that if the Bible said not to do it, but you weren't sure if it applied today, if you were going to err, would you not want to err on the side of caution? Because wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. So I would think, well, if it doesn't apply anymore, I should be able to find a passage of scripture that tells me it's okay. but we want to have this neutral ground, this demilitarized zone where we're allowed to make decisions for ourselves and God doesn't really have an opinion. And that's what I heard from a lot of Christians who have tattoos who says, God doesn't care about this. And I've heard this more than once. He cares about the heart, not the ink.
Oh, yeah. That's the pietist, you know, antinomian attitude that's taken. And again, I want to say we have to keep these things in proper balance. We're not saying that the interior, inner spiritual life and being concerned about our place in the Lord and our walk with Him and assurance of salvation and all those things are unimportant. They are. But you can have all these heart feelings and feel real close to the Lord when you're at the worship service at your local megachurch. But if you aren't doing what Jesus said to do, and what did he say all through the Gospel of John? If you love me, keep my commandments. Do what I'm telling you to do. What are his commandments? Genesis to Revelation. There are his commandments. And on this particular issue, the issue of body modification, it is clear what his commandments are and why he gave those reasons. It's clear from the Word of God and places like Deuteronomy 18:9, Ephesians 4, that what the Lord says to us is, as the church, is do not think as they think, the people outside, the people who are not followers of the true God, and don't do as they do. It's that simple.
Now, John Owen is famous for his book, Mortification of the Flesh. And I think the more I research this, the desires come from the flesh, not from the spirit, because I don't think you'll find any place in Scripture where the Holy Spirit would be directing someone to go ahead and get a tattoo. If you find it, well, first of all, I'd question what Bible you're reading. But there's some interesting quotes from John Owen that I think are pertinent here. He says, when sin lets us alone, we may let sin alone. But a sin is never less quiet than when it seems to be most quiet, and its waters are for the most part deep when they are still, so ought our contrivances against it to be vigorous at all times and in all conditions, even where there is least suspicion. So just because you are born again does not mean that your battle of sin is over. But it'll present itself sometimes with very decorative accessories that make it look beneficial. And so this is anecdotal, but I knew one girl who repented of her promiscuous life and ended up getting the whole Armor of God passage tattooed up her leg. That girl died of cancer. At the time, I don't know that anybody was relating it, but she had so much ink on her body that it's hard-pressed to not think that there was some correlation to it. Another quote from Owen, let not that man think he makes any progress in holiness who walks not over the bellies of his lusts. He who doth not kill sin in this way takes no steps towards his journey's end. So the whole practice of resisting the lusts of the flesh and the lusts of the eyes and what the world presents as good is part of our sanctification. But how many times are people, and not just in this area, but in so many others, whether it's deciding that it's not a big deal that they're sending their children to state schools that promote godlessness, or people continue to work for an organization or a company that's actually doing things that expressly God prohibits. It's not enough to say, I go to church every week, I read my Bible. If you don't read your Bible as putting a magnifying glass and saying, hey, buddy, look at yourself. Are you doing what God says to do? Then why are you reading your Bible?
In the now classic motion picture from, I think it came out in 2000, Gladiator, there's a scene in the movie when the main character, Maximus, has been taken prisoner. He has this tattoo on it. He's a great general in the Legion. He won these great battles for Caesar and the Roman Senate. And on his arm is the tattoo, the letters SPQR, which translated from Latin means the people and the Senate of Rome. It's a standard symbol of the Roman Empire. That same empire that he served so well ended up murdering his wife and his children. don't want to get into the whole movie, but there's a scene in the movie where he's been sold into slavery, and he's been sold to a gladiatorial school, and he's going to have to go out now and fight to the death. And he's in kind of like a holding place where all the gladiators are being kept. And he's got this sharp rock, and he is gouging his skin, trying to erase the letters SPQR. And one of the other men who has been taken into slavery with him to be used as a gladiator sees what he's doing, and he says, "Isn't that the sign of your God? Aren't you afraid?" He didn't really understand what the letters stood for, but he had an interesting perception about what it stood for. And of course, none of these characters were Christians, but it goes to show you get something like that representing what is in fact satanic, it has a way of coming back to haunt you, and your first recourse is to get rid of it. So I want to wind up my side of this by asking you, what advice would we give to folks who maybe recognize, yeah, I made a very bad mistake here. It's not practical for me to try to get these various things removed from my body. What do you think we should encourage them to do as far as wearing long sleeves or not displaying them, or what would you say?
Well, first and foremost, like any sin, it's a sin against God. The fact that it might also include a sin against your own body is the secondary matter. God said not to do certain things or to do other things. And when we don't do those things, we have violated what God said as our creator. Depending on the circumstance, there are some people, I've even discovered that there are people who tattoo their eyes, which thought of it, I don't even like to think about what that might be like. But I would compare it to, in a very different sense, because abortion isn't necessarily visible. There are many women who have murdered their offspring through abortion, come to faith and repentance. And what they do is they are called to speak out against it. So I know one woman who's a friend who has headed the local pregnancy resource center for years. Almost any time I've ever heard her speak, whether it's at an event or at a church opportunity to give her to talk, she always points out that she had an abortion and that God has forgiven her. And now she can, with total confidence and certainty, tell people this is not what they should do, and we're willing to help. And as a result of the work that this pregnancy center does, they have retreats for women who have, or even men who paid for abortions. There's this understanding that God is a merciful God and he forgives. However, in the case of tattoos, depending on how many somebody has on his or her body, and they realize that this is not what God said to do and I sinned, once they get themselves right with God, I don't believe the responsibility ends. So covering up a tattoo, I mean, there is makeup. You can make sure that this symbol on your body or this statement that meant something once and you disavow it now isn't going to lead others astray. And I especially think in terms of children and young girls, the major population apparently that's getting tattooed are young females. Males get them, but not as much as the young females. So how many women are showing up and their tattoos are very obvious? First and foremost, if they think there's things wrong with it, well, then they're advertising something they think is good. But maybe, just maybe, God took what you did and use it as an opportunity to further proclaim his word. I see this a lot with women who were convinced that they should be men. They had surgeries, they had hormone therapy, they came to their senses, they came to faith. And now what they do is they say, I'm going to fulfill the role where I can tell people why it was wrong, how it was wrong, based on my disobedience, and encourage people not to. I think that will look different for individual people, but first and foremost, you cannot be advertising and shouldn't be advertising that which God said was wrong to do.
I think that very well summarizes what people should be thinking about this. And I want to stress again that we're talking about a variety of things in this particular focus about how people are led astray to violate what God says is the path of life and prosperity and blessing. There are many others. We could dedicate a whole program to gluttony or adultery or whatever else it may be. And they're the same and similar prohibitions because ultimately they are attack on the image of God and man. So I hope that this discussion has been helpful to any who may have wondered or been struggling with this issue themselves, that they will take seriously what the Lord requires of us in terms of being his disciples.
Yeah, I agree. I'm just going to end again with that verse from Colossians because it really spoke to me in terms of answering my question, what spirit? So see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ.
Amen.
That's something to meditate on for sure.
Yes.
All right, listeners, out of the question podcast at gmail.com is how you reach us. And to those who, for I would say maybe the last year or so, have been asking us to cover this topic, well, we finally did. Till next time.
Thanks for listening to Out of the Question. For more information on this and other topics, please visit calcedon.edu.